All right, if we're this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Have to get all the troublemakers out of here before we get started. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to begin reading in verse 45. I want to talk to you about something today that we all are confronted with, we're all surrounded by, and it's the greatest problem that you have today. Now, I know that some of you think that the federal government is your greatest problem. Some of you think that Barack Obama is your greatest problem, and maybe your wife, or your former wife, or your husband, or your former husband, or your children, or your friends, or somebody in your life is the real problem. Well, I want to address what the real problem is today. What your greatest problem is in this life that we find ourselves living. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." The last Adam is a reference to Jesus Christ. "Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural." So immediately we see a contrast between the natural and the spiritual. "But that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." I think the last verse there pretty well summarizes the flesh and how God sees it. He said that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now why would that be? Well, the reason being obviously is because the flesh is defiled. Your flesh is simply that. It is that which is spoken of as being natural. Verse 46, "Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural." If you will, look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we see some very similar terminology in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 14. The Bible says there, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." So again, we see a contrast between the natural and the spiritual. Now, go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and notice in Romans 5, in verse 12. In Romans 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So the problem that we have today is that we are contained, if you will, our spirit man is in a body of flesh, and that flesh is a body of sinful flesh. And it became that way as a result of one man. Go back, if you will, to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now, really, in a way, the fact that we are sinful is not good news. But the fact that how we got that way is good news, and I'll explain that in a minute. But in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 17, we'll look at 3 in a minute. Look in Genesis 2 first in verse 17. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Wherefore, death came upon all men, for that all have sinned." Wherefore, in other words, it came through Adam. Look over in chapter 3. In chapter 3, in the verse 7 verses, you have the serpent and his deceitfulness there with Eve. But notice in verse 8, They're in the garden and they hear the Lord. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, and being the straight kind of forward person that a man would be, he said, I did it. No. The man said, The woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now, I said a moment ago, this is kind of good news in a way. The good news is this. The fact that you're a sinner is not your fault. Okay? You were born a sinner. Adam expresses that very sentiment in verse 12 because he is not immediately willing to take responsibility for his sin. He said, It's the woman thou gavest me. That's what the problem is. She gave to me and I did eat. But the fact is that they, and by the way, the Bible says that the woman was the one that was deceived. And there's a lot of ideas and speculation about why Adam would have taken of the tree and so forth. But regardless of that, the Lord God, verse 13, said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. So both of them passed the buck to somebody else. Well, the good news today is that you can pass the buck in the sense that you're not a sinner because of the fact you commit sin. You're a sinner because of who you are and what you are in the flesh. And, you know, that is good in one sense, but it's bad because a lot of times people believe that they can be righteous by stopping sin, but think about this. What that tells us, if a person is a sinner because of what they are born with in the flesh, then there's nothing they can do to change that. Is there? I mean, can you change the fact that you're walking around in a body of flesh? No. I mean, you know, the idea, the mentality is always that we want to be able to blame somebody else. You know, one of the characteristics I see in people an awful lot is that we don't like to take blame for stuff. I mean, Mary will say, so and such, such and such is missing. And you know what the first thing out of my mouth is? I hadn't seen it. Well, something's broke. Well, I didn't break it. You ever notice how, you know, I started to use the illustration of how kids do that, but then I realized that I do it all the time. Well, I didn't. What wasn't my fault? Adam said, wasn't me, it was the woman. The woman said, wasn't me, it was the devil. Well, the fact is, you get a break on this one when it comes to being a sinner because it's not your fault. But you're still a sinner. And Romans chapter 5 makes it clear, wherefore is by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And down in verse 17 is some wonderful news, because it says, Romans chapter 5, 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Just like, folks, you couldn't do anything about being a sinner. You can't do anything about being saved other than trusting that which has already been done in your behalf. You see, most of religion today goes about trying to teach people how to establish their own righteousness. The reason that many religions teach that you become a sinner when you start sinning, there's a lot of religions that don't teach this thing about being born in sin. They say you become a sinner when you commit your first sin. Well, you know why they teach that? Because if you become a sinner by committing sin, then you can become righteous by being righteous, by quitting sin. But the fact is that the first man, Adam, that natural man, born in a body of flesh, is sinful became sinful, and that sin nature has been passed down to every individual, and it has to do with what we are in our flesh. And if you don't believe in the depravity and the sinfulness of the flesh, then you've been in a closet somewhere. I mean, the stuff that goes on out there, you know, every day you see things on the TV and on the internet, so it just boggles your mind. This thing going around this week, I don't know how many of you saw it, about there's these five little girls doing a dance to some song. I don't even know what the song was. And it's been on TV, and people are outraged about it. I mean, they're dancing like it's awful. And it's been, like I said, it was on TV, it was on channel CNN, Fox showing it, talking about it. And they interviewed some of the parents, and they said, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, even Dr. Phil thought it was terrible. Come on, folks. I mean, we as a society have gotten so hardened and so cold to that which is bad, sin no longer has any effect upon people's morals are just shot. Well, it's all because we live in a sinful body of flesh. Notice what Paul says about that over in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 6. We read this verse first and then go back to chapter 5. In Galatians 6, verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want to read that first to show you the contrast again. Flesh versus Spirit. Now go back to chapter 5 and notice in verse 16. In chapter 5, verse 16, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he lists the works of the flesh, he says, which are manifest, adultery, fornication, all those things there. But the point I want to make is this. He said, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are what? Contrary the one to the other. The Bible does not portray ever anything good about the flesh. The flesh is bad. The flesh is evil. The flesh is wicked. As a matter of fact, look in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. You know, this is not something that people many times want to hear about, because we like to think about people as being overall good. Well, I don't believe everybody's bad in the sense of everybody's a murderer and a robber and that kind of thing. But I want to tell you something. Everybody is flesh. And some people are able to keep their flesh under control better than others. But the heart of the matter is, that which is flesh is flesh. As a matter of fact, John 3:6, that which is flesh is flesh. We won't take time to turn there. But in Romans chapter 7, notice in verse 14, Paul says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, notice, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, notice now, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. There's somebody not long ago, they were here one Sunday morning and the message was along this line. And when they left, they said, I'm sick and tired of people telling me how bad I am. Well, you know, folks, the Bible, the fact is we need to be reminded of this warfare that goes on and the sinfulness of the flesh so that we would put no confidence in the flesh. Paul said, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and put no confidence in our flesh. Your flesh is weak. Your flesh is no good, the Bible says. As a matter of fact, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he says, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Then you're in a body of flesh. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Paul's writing here primarily to save people. And he's saying that we need to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Now I know that generally people don't like to hear preaching about do's and don'ts, and that's not what this is about. What this is about is the fact that you need to understand and realize the source of your problem, the source of your rebellion, the source of your bad attitude, the source of things that are contrary to the Word of God in your life is because you're in a body of flesh. And you're going to face that battle until the day you're out of the body of this flesh. And I can tell you, after having lived for 63 years, it don't get any easier. I thought there would be finally a time when I got to a certain age that I wouldn't have all the problems and difficulties of the flesh as far as sin. It never is any easier, folks. That which is flesh is flesh. And Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So yeah, but I know some people that do some good things. Yeah, they might do some good things as a result of being obedient to the Word of God or because of morality or something, but the flesh is still wicked. The flesh is still filthy, it's called here. The filthiness of the flesh. He's not just talking about being dirty, he's talking about filthy acts, lust. Concupiscence, the Bible calls it. And they're called to cleanse themselves from that filthiness of the flesh. You see, the flesh and the spirit, they're simply not compatible. They're contrary one to the other. And if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And that inner man is fed by the Word of God and is strengthened by the Spirit of God. So that inner man, the idea in Christianity is that the inner man would be able to take over and control this monster that you're walking around in, this flesh. The idea is that inner man would be able to gain control. Because what did we just read in Galatians? The flesh lusteth against the spirit. And they are contrary. They're always butting heads. And you know which one's going to win? The one you feed. The one you nurture. The one you cater to. You have desires of the flesh because you're walking around in a body of filthy flesh. You have desires. You have lust. That's the condition of the flesh. Paul said there's no good thing. He said the flesh is filthy. Not only that, look in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, I'll tell you one thing age does do as far as the flesh is concerned. It makes you realize how full of infirmities that it is. See, when you're young and vivacious and everything, it's just like, you know, everything, you got everything, well, under control. Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 19 says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Now here Paul is not talking about infirmities like aching bones and eyesight and that kind of thing. We know that because of the context. Look up in verse 18. He said, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh." Notice the infirmity. "For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness." Now we're getting to the good news. I mean, the bad news is all that the Bible says about the flesh. He says it's no good. He says it's filthy. He says it's infirmity. It's full of infirmities. And he says in Philippians 3:21 that our flesh is vile. He said that one day he's going to change our vile body. Why? Because this body's not fit to live in heaven. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That which is flesh. The flesh lusts against the spirit. But now we've got some good news. We know that we can never put confidence in the flesh. I quoted that verse a moment ago. Paul said, "We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and put no confidence in the flesh." You see, Paul was a man who had every reason to put confidence in the flesh, as all of those law-keeping Jews did. I mean, you think about the scope of the law that was given to the nation Israel. Over 600 commandments and statutes and judgments. And they were religious. Well, you remember over there the Pharisees, they rebuked Christ and his followers for eating with unwashing hands. They were sticklers about the flesh. But you know what Christ said about them? He said, "You're serpents." You see, folks, just changing the flesh is never enough. That's what an awful lot of religion is about. It's about taking people and making them moral or somehow teaching them to be moral and that kind of thing. And so what you have is you got some people that perform on the basis of that which they've been taught, but the Spirit of God, they don't have the power of God resting in them by the Spirit of God because they've never been saved. And they're doomed to failure eventually. But the Bible says here in Romans chapter 6, look up in verse 15. He says, "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid." Now here's the secret. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart," notice, "that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." So the question you have to ask yourself this morning is, whose servant are you? Most of the time, we end up serving our flesh. But there is a body of doctrine, he says there in verse 17, "that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." And that's what God desires for us. Not for salvation, but for the walk as members of the church, the body of Christ. Now, the flesh and spirit then are not compatible. The condition of the flesh, on the one hand, is, Paul said, "I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." He said that the flesh is filthy. He said that it's full of infirmities. And it is defiled, it is vile, and as a matter of fact, in Ephesians 2 verse 5, look over there, in Ephesians 2, he refers to us being dead. Ephesians 2:4, "For God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved." Now, here's the thing. Here's the good news. We're born in flesh. We grow up in this body of flesh. We're sinners by nature. And we're sinners by choice. We choose to sin. But God has provided a way that we can eventually be delivered from this body of flesh. Say, yeah, but I gotta die for that to happen. Well, it could be that the rapture will come before your death and it would happen that way. But even in life, you're not set in a position where you just have to wait till the end. Because we just read in Romans chapter 6 where you don't have to be servants of the flesh. Now, here's the thing. The only way to overcome the flesh is by the Spirit of God. The only way for that to take place is for you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. For you to be made righteous. You see, righteousness in so many people's mind is something that is achieved. Righteousness is something that they try to obtain to. But Romans chapter 5, where we started out, look back there, in verse 17, makes it clear that righteousness, like salvation, is a free gift. You see, the Bible is clear that we cannot be justified by the works of the flesh. As a matter of fact, before we read Romans 5, look back in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You know what the law did? The law just showed what we're talking about here this morning. I mean, anybody that believes they're righteous just needs to go back and look at the law. And I know people, you know, they'll go there and they'll look at the law and they'll say, well, I am pretty good. After all, I've never committed adultery and never stole or never robbed anybody, never committed murder, never did any of those things. Then they get down to that part, thou shalt not covet. That about covers it, everybody. That's just a blanket over us all. And you know, I notice Paul does that when he lists these works of the flesh. He'll list all those terrible things that we look at and say, oh, those are awful. And then he'll say covetousness or gossip or something else he'll throw in there. The point is, folks, that what the law did, it was given that every mouth, it says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. If you're an individual who wants to, in your heart and mind, say, I'm good enough, I'll take care of this myself, the law says, no, you won't. Brother Frank Lowry, I remember when he used to preach about this, he would use the same illustration over and over, and that is that a man would say, I can do this, I can do that, and the law would say, shut your mouth. It would say, every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty. Look in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, folks, you can't become righteous by doing righteous deeds. You can't become righteous. If you could keep every point of the law, you still couldn't be made righteous. Why? Because you're a sinner by nature. Well, then something happened that had to happen. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17, tells us what it was. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam, that first Adam we read about in 1 Corinthians 15, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Wow. Now that's some good news. Just like you were made a sinner in Adam, you can be made righteous in Christ Jesus. It's not a matter of what you do. Let me show you how that works. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5 verse 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. How? By Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now there we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now notice, for he, that's God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that is Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be what? Made the righteousness of God in him. You couldn't become righteous by doing righteous acts. And so what God did was he made you righteous in his Son, Jesus Christ. The greatest exchange that ever took place in the history of mankind was at the cross, when God allowed his Son on that cross to be made sin for us. God took the sin of all of mankind and placed it upon his Son, and he died for those sins. When he died for those sins, he was buried and he was raised. And when he was raised for our justification, which was a statement by God that said, I am satisfied with the sacrifice my Son has made. And he was raised for our justification. And today, salvation is based upon believing that which I just stated. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and was raised again the third day. And trusting in him and him alone. Him plus nothing. That is being made righteous. That is having been made the righteousness of God in him. Folks, people need to get a hold of that. The sinfulness of the flesh today is not the issue. The issue is what a person believes as far as salvation is concerned. You can't be justified by the deeds of the flesh. Why? Because it's vile. It's filthy. There's nothing good in it. It can't inherit the kingdom of God. But you can serve God in it. I mean, it's all you got to work with. It's what you have. You're in that body of flesh. How do you overcome all that's bad said about it? By obeying that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. But it starts with salvation. It starts with being made the righteousness of God in him. You see, as I repeat almost every Sunday, and I know sometimes people may get tired of hearing it, but when I listen to the radio and TV, I can't help but want to make people understand that today your sin is not the issue. Your sin is not what is keeping you from being saved. Your sin might be keeping you from being the servant of God you ought to be, and it will. Your sin as a saved person may keep you from being obedient to God's will and God's word. Your sin may cause you to do things that would grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Your sin may cause you to have all kind of difficulty in your family and in your marriage. Your sin may have caused you to have all kind of problems in your relationships of life. Your sin can have all kind of consequences. He said, walk in the flesh. Or walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But when you do walk in the flesh, you reap what you sow. But folks, that has nothing to do with salvation. Your sin, even though if you let it reign in your body, can hamper all those things that I just mentioned. You know what sin cannot do? If you're saved, sin can never deny you of eternal life. Because you are saved and you are sealed under the day of redemption. How many people out there in the religious world preach and teach that if you sin, you fall from grace? If you sin, you can lose your salvation. If you sin, somehow you're no longer acceptable to God. That's simply untrue and is blasphemous in nature. Because the Bible right here tells me He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God was in Christ, He says, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them. And He's committed unto us that word of reconciliation. Folks, I want you to see, if you're listening by the internet or on CD or any other way, I want people to understand. Your flesh is filthy. Your flesh is defiled. Your flesh is vile. There is nothing good in your flesh. How in the world could you be led to believe that somehow by something you do in your flesh, you could be acceptable to God Almighty? No, you couldn't. That's why God made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's why righteousness is a free gift. And just as condemnation came upon all men because of Adam's sin, righteousness is available to all men through the obedience of Christ when He went there and hung on that cross and died for our sins. As a result of that, as a saved individual, we should walk worthy of that vocation where we've been called. We're a new creature in Christ, and we ought to act like it and walk like it. But we should never confuse and never allow others to confuse to those we love and know the issue of the walk versus salvation. Salvation is trusting in what Christ did plus nothing. If you're lost this morning, there's not one thing you can do in your flesh that would cause you to be saved. Say, well, I feel like I need to walk down the aisle. I think I ought to get baptized. I'll get saved. I had a man tell me one time, I was talking to him about salvation, and I said, are you saved? And he said, no, but he said, I'm going to be one of these days. I just got this problem. And he patted himself like that. And I said, you got a heart problem? He said, no, and he pulled out a pack of cigarettes he had in his pocket. He said, when I can quit smoking, I'm going to get saved. I said, I tell you what, why don't you get saved first and then worry about quit smoking? You see, somebody had that man believing that somehow smoking had something to do with the salvation. That's what religion has people's minds blinded, folks. They believe that somehow they got to quit something, give up something, sacrifice something. Just let me do something. There's not anything you can do because Christ did it all for you. Walking an aisle, being baptized, joining the church, quitting something you're doing in your life. None of that has any effect on salvation. Salvation is a free gift. Yours by receiving that which Christ did for you. If you've never been saved, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Say, but I'm not sure I can live it. That is not the issue. The issue in salvation is, can you receive it by faith? Are you willing to just by faith quit trying to do it yourself and realize that when Christ hung on that cross and said it's finished, that God was satisfied with that sacrifice and accepted the blood that He shed as payment for your sin? That's all it was. So that you could receive the gift of righteousness. You didn't choose to be born a sinner. But you can choose eternal life. Not by something you do, but by accepting the free gift of salvation that's been provided through our Savior Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, I would invite you to do so this morning. Right where you are, sitting right there in that pew. This moment, you can pass from death unto life. Simply by accepting in your heart, soul, and mind the free gift of salvation right this minute. Why don't you do that as we close in prayer? Would you stand?